Glory be to God. Praise His name. This is Spiritual Minds, and I'm your host, Peaceful Krabs. I shall bless the Lord with all my heart, and His name shall continuously be in thy mouth. This is Bible study. You come to the right place. If you're looking for a Bible study to actually go beyond your mind, go beyond the verses, you need to know the meaning. You need to get insight. You need help. You want to get right with God, you come to the right place. So continue to tune in. Relax. Pop open your Bible because you're going into Spiritual Minds.
Your faith must stand trial.
Okay, welcome to Spiritual Minds. I'm your host, Yoakus Vassarelli. I'm here today. It's my first time on here, my first episode, so everyone, you're going to have to bear with me. trying out new things here, try to expand today. But for those who have no idea what this is a Bible study show that I got going. One day I decided to do this. I was like, you know, I got to take God's word to another level. Now, for those who don't know God or for those who don't like God, don't believe in God, you know, this is a free-spirited show, you know. I speak about a variety of things, you know. I don't just talk about the Bible all the time, you know. I go off topic majority of the time. And, you know, for those who don't know me, I'm Yoakus Vassarelli. I am a sound engineer, music artist, on-board skater, poet, you know, doing some films. So I had a film producer on the side. you know, I was doing this thing on Zello, you know, and then I decided to, you know, take it over here. You know, I don't know too much about this stuff, but I'm learning, you know, I'm learning. So for those who want to call in and talk, you know, join the Bible study. The number is 347-237-4613. That's 347-237-4613. You can go ahead and call in. Just don't curse. You heard? And on top of that, you know, be fair, be respectful. Call in any time within 90 minutes of the show, because that's how long it is. I might cut it short before then. You know, again, this is my first time on here. I'm pretty much new to everything. But, again, I'm living off God's word. I'm trying to take things to a new level. You know, one day I might look back on all these things and be like, wow, you know, I actually did that. Yeah, I did. You know, this board right here, this thing, it looks really good. You know, I like it. You know, I'm branching out. You know, it seems pretty awesome to be, you know, on here. So I'm going to my week. My week was good. You know, I did a lot of different things. got into some things. You know, I put the house in order. You know, and did me. I hope everyone's weekend was good. You know, we're going good. You know, glory be to God. Praise His name. You know, I just want people to understand that I'm here to help them. I don't bash people on the show. You know, I just try to do what's right. You know, so before I go into the show, we got to do a prayer. Prayer. And it's opening prayer. You know, today I'll be reading from chapter 9, Matthew, chapter 9, New International Version, or King James Version, whatever version you got. I got a lot of different things to be going on in this channel right now. So, I'm going to give a moment for people to actually get to that channel. In the meantime, we're going to switch it over, and we're going to go into some music. And I don't know how people feel about listening to Christian music, but that's what I play on here. And it's really good, you know. It's really good music, you know. I play it off, you know. And people like it a lot. So I'm going to go into this and stay tuned. Give some more time for people to come on in again. To call in, number is 347-237-4613. You're listening to Spiritual Minds with your host, Peaceful Crabs, also known as Joseph Foscolarelli.
Just a fable, I just can't. Boulevard. It was the yard of faith we lived the ways of. Hang around by the street lights in the heart of the nighttime. There came a certain man, a stranger to the crowd. We didn't understand what he was all about. He walked a different pace, so out of place in the
Yeah. Welcome back to Spiritual Minds, your host, Peaceful Crab, Yoki Spasarelli. I'm back, and we're ready to get into Bible study now. Before I get into Bible study, I have to say, because I'm doing everything myself over here, I usually do a prayer first. I'm going to do opening prayer. Shout out to everyone who is supporting me, which is absolutely no one. Okay. That was really funny. All right. So we're going to do opening prayer. And from there, we're going to start Bible study, Matthew chapter 9.
God, I'm here to be trained. I'm here for an education.
I'm willing, God.
I'll do what you want me to do.
I'll
say say what you want me to say.
In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. And back to our show introduction. Glory be to God. Praise His name. This is Spiritual Minds, and I'm your host, Peaceful Krabs. I shall bless the Lord with all my heart, and His name should continuously be in thy mouth. This is Bible study. You come to the right place. If you're looking for a Bible study to actually go beyond your mind, go beyond the verses, you need to know the meaning. You need to get insight. You need help. You want to get right with God, you come to the right place. So continue to tune in. Relax. Pop open your Bible because you're going into Spiritual Minds.
Your faith mundane trial.
Welcome back to Spiritual Minds. I'm your host, Yocas Fosparelli. Today we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Now, Matthew chapter 9, if some of those don't really realize what chapter 9 is, Matthew chapter 9 is when I believe that Jesus was speaking to the people. Now, this is a very interesting chapter, so I'm not going to say any more. We'll go right into it. Matthew chapter 9, Spiritual Minds.
Matthew 9. And he entered. Chapter 9. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves,
"This fellow is blaspheming."
Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said,
"Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins."
So he said to the paralyzed man,
"Get up, take your mat, and go home."
Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to man. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth.
"Follow me,"
he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples,
"Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?"
On hearing this, Jesus said,
"It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners."
Then John's disciples came and asked him,
"How is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?"
Jesus answered,
"How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them. The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved.
While he was saying this, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said,
"My daughter has just died, but come and put your hand on her, and she will live."
Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself,
"If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed."
Jesus turned and saw her.
"Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you."
And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said,
"Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep."
But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out,
"Have mercy on us, Son of David!"
When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, and he asked them,
"Do you believe that I am able to do this?"
"Yes, Lord,"
they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said,
"According to your faith, let it be done to you."
And their sight was restored. Jesus warned them sternly,
"See that no one knows about this."
But they went out and spread the news about him all over that region. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said,
"Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel."
But the Pharisees said,
"It is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons."
Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples,
"The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Amen. So, Matthew chapter 9. Now, Matthew chapter 9 speaks about how Jesus ministers and heals. Now, we're going to get into that right now. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 347-237-4613. Or talk to me live. I am here. So, verse 1 through 2. Talks about his own city. The Bible says his own. Now this must mean that, as previously noted in Matthew chapter 4, verse 13. Now the Bible says they brought to him a paralyzed lying on a bed. Now in other gospels, in Mark 2 and Luke 5, which explains more, explains how the man was brought to Jesus because of the crowd. His friends lowered him down to Jesus through a roof. Now, this will be another example of Jesus healing the sick and the disease. And the Messiah's role was, as healer, was clearly prophesied in passages like Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 6. Now, however, as noted earlier, Jesus' miracles were not primarily calculated for crowd effect. Let me adjust this mic over here. All right, here we go. So let me get a little louder over here. So, instead, they were primarily done to minister to the humble, needs of humble people. Now, for the most part, as Jewish people of that time, would have preferred much spectacular signs, like calling down fire from heaven upon a Roman legion. Now, we also note that the presence of so much sickness among Israel was evidence that their unfaithfulness to the covenant and their low spiritual condition. God gave them the opposite of what he promised under Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Now the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith. Now Jesus saw the faith of his friends, not of the paralyzed man himself. It was evident that they, the faith of to bring to their paralyzed friend of Jesus, and their faith was active enough to take apart a roof and lower the man down before Jesus. Now that's very, very special here, people. Now, with the swift, sure diagnosis, Jesus sees in the man not in faith, but deep depression in uttering first a kindly, hope-inspiring word, such as a physician might address a patient. Cheer up, child. Now, the faith of the paralyzed man's friends did something here. They brought this man to Jesus. Yet they only thought to bring him to Jesus for the healing of his body. They certainly did think that Jesus would forgive his sins. Okay. Verse 3, Matthew chapter 9, verse 3, talks about the reaction of the religious leaders. Now we notice that they objected immediately yet privately, saying it within themselves. Jesus will address what they said within themselves, showing that our thoughts and opinions are open to God and of interest to him. Now, the scribes correctly understood that Jesus claimed to do something that only God can do. But they were incorrect in ensuring that Jesus was not God himself, and that Jesus blasphemed by considering himself God. Okay. Verses 4 through 5, Matthew chapter 9, talks about Jesus reads the evil hearts of the scribes and presents a question. Now, this alone should have been enough for Jesus to prove his dignity, demonstrating that he could know their evil hearts. Yet, he would also offer a greater proof of his dignity. Now, both healing and forgiveness are impossible with man. Yet only the promise of healing could be immediately proven. Because though you can't see someone's sin being forgiven, that they are healed. If you want to call in, the chat number is 347-237-4613. You can call in. I can answer your questions about Bible study, about Matthew chapter verses 4 through 5 that we're talking about right now. For those who are just tuning in, we are talking, discussing Matthew chapter 9. This is Bible study, Spiritual Minds. Verses 4 through 6, or 6 through 8, talks about Jesus asserts his authority over both sin and disease. Now, Jesus answered his own question before the religious leaders did. You hear this here? Since he could not make good on his claim, or should I say, since he could make good on his claim, sorry there, forgive me, it gave proof of his claim to also have the authority to forgive sins. Now, that is very, very deep here. Now, the man was instantly healed, proving that Jesus did have the power of God to both heal and forgive. The man was instantly healed, proving that Jesus did have the power of God both to heal and forgive. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Now, Mark chapter 2, verse 14 says that this man was also named Levi, the son of, I can't really pronounce that word, but it's a weird name. I mean, see, in the Bible days, we didn't have, like, words like we have now, like names and stuff. Like, they'd be like, hey, yo, man, Brian, Matthew, you know, stuff like that. I mean, of course they had the name Matthew. I mean, where else did it come from? But we had names that, like, they thought long and hard to make. James often called James the less to disguise himself from James, the brother of John. So it seems that both this Matthew and his brother James were among the 12. Now, tax collectors were not only notorious sinners, they were also promptly regarded as collaborators with the Romans against their fellow Jews. Nobody liked the man who sat at the tax office. That's a shame. Now, understand that how almost everyone hated tax collectors. It is remarkable to see how Jesus loved and called Matthew. It proved to be a well-placed love. Matthew responded to Jesus' invitation by leaving his tax collecting business and following Jesus, and eventually writing this same gospel account. That's really deep. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13, we're going to 10 through 13, that really speaks about Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners. Now, the context suggests that this was a gathering of Matthew's friends and former business associates. So we're going into something here. We might say that Jesus took advantage of Matthew's decision to also teach to those whom he knew. Jesus aims at a mission among classes, and his first step is the call of Matthew to discipleship, and his second, the gathering together through him of a large number of these classes to a social entertainment. And nothing that they were many tax collectors and sinners. I estimate that this was held not in a private home, but in a public hall. And that, in any case, was a great affair. Scores, possibly hundreds, present. Too large for a room in the house now. So, the answer to this question is simple. The Bible says, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? Now, because Jesus is the friend of sinners, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners. Remember, people, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Okay? Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick do. Now, the Bible says this, right? This was the principle that the criticizing Pharisees did not understand. Okay? These Pharisees did not understand anything, really. I mean, if I was in those days, I would just be like, man, don't listen to me. Don't listen to them, those people over there. Now, we are fortunate that God calls sinners and not just saintly people. Okay? But the Pharisees were like doctors who wanted to avoid all contact with sick people. Of course, they wished that sick people would become healthy, but they wouldn't risk getting infected themselves. Now, Jesus came to benefit those who understood their inherited need for him. Those who were sick in the poor in spirit of basic Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Yet the proud who see no need for Jesus, quote unquote, those who are well benefit nothing from Jesus but love and everything else. So Matthew chapter 10, verses 10 to 13, talks about the Gentiles and that Jesus is seeking them. I mean, you know, if I come to you, you already got Mercedes-Benz. Why should I buy you another one? I mean, you already got one. I mean, I'd rather be better off blessing someone with a car. I mean, blessing someone who does not have a car. Now, verse 14 talks about the disciples of John ask a question. Why don't Jesus' disciples fast as the Pharisees do? I'm going to answer that right now. The ministry of John the Baptist was strict in its character and had on a humble reason. Okay? John's disciples imitated this and showed their own proper humility in light of their own sin and that of their people. Okay? The Pharisees were also known for their practice of fasting twice a week, according to Luke 18:12, but they did not do it out of spirit of humble repentance. They often fast wanting to oppress themselves and others with their spirituality. So apparently the disciples of Jesus did not fast as either of these two groups did. Jesus wanted next explain in the very next verse. So verses 15 through 17 talks about the principle, things that are different now that the Messiah is here. So it wasn't right for Jesus' disciples to imitate the Pharisees in their hypocritical shows, I should say. Nor was it right for them to imitate John's disciples in their ministry of humble preparation, because the disciples lived in the experience that John tried to prepare people for. Now, there will come a day when fasting would be appropriate for Jesus' followers. But at the present time, when Jesus was among them, it was not that day. Okay? Now, with this illustration of the wineskins, I'm going to get on that because the Bible says, nor do you put new wine into old wineskins or else the wineskins break. Jesus explained that he did not come to repair or reform the old institutions of Judaism, but to institute a new covenant altogether. The new covenant doesn't just improve the old, it replaces it and goes beyond it. For those who are just listening in, the number is 347-237-4613 if you want to call in. And if you have any questions, if you have any questions that you want to answer, if anything that you want to add to this, challenge my abilities and so on, what other people do. Number is 347-237-4613. Back to Matthew chapter 9. I'm talking Matthew chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. Now, Jesus referenced to the old wineskins, to the wineskins. This was his announcement that the present institutions of the Judaism could not and would not contain his new wineskins. He would reform a new institution, the church, that would bring Jew and Gentile together into a completely new body. You can read about that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. Now, listen. Jesus reminds us that what is old and stagnant often cannot be renewed or reformed. God will often look at and look for new vessels to contain his new work until those vessels eventually make themselves unsustainable. This reminds us that the religious establishment for any age is not necessarily pleasing to Jesus. Sometimes it is in direct opposition to or at least resisting his work. Now, Jesus came to introduce something new, not to patch up something old. This is what salvation is all about. In doing this, Jesus doesn't destroy the old law, but he refills it, just as an acorn is refilled when it grows into an acorn tree. There is no sense in which an acorn is gone, but its purpose is fulfilled in greatness. Thank you, Jesus. Verses 18 through 19, Matthew chapter 9, talks about a ruler among the Jews asks Jesus to heal his daughter. Now note that this man worshipped him, because the Bible says a ruler came and worshipped him. Worshipped him. And Jesus received his worship, which would have been blasphemous if Jesus had not himself been God. In other words, in the New Testament, where such worship is offered to a human or to an angel, it is always immediately refused. Now, the Bible says, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she shall live." Now, this ruler did not, or should I say, this ruler did, he did the right thing in coming to Jesus. But his faith is small in comparison to the centurion of Matthew chapter 8. The ruler thought it is essential that Jesus personally come touch the little girl, while the centurion understood Jesus had the authority to heal with a word even at a great distance. Matthew chapter 9 verses 20 through 22 talks about a woman is healed by her faith in her touch of Jesus. Now, to give a much fuller account of this miracle, refer to Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43, and Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. But Matthew's account is enough to show the compassion of Jesus in the fact that his power is not magical. Here, we simply see the power of God responding to the faith of those who seek him. Now, Matthew relates to this story shortly, as he does many others. Now, because this woman's condition was embarrassing, and because she was ceremonially unclean and would not be condemned for touching Jesus or even being in the pressing crowd, she wanted to do this in secret. She would not openly ask Jesus to be healed, but she thought, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole. Well, now, this also shows us that Jesus dressed like other people of his time. I mean, he felt no need to disguise himself by the clothes he wore, you know. Now, by her faith, by the girl's faith, the woman's faith, thought imperfect was enough to receive what Jesus wanted to give her. Her 12-year-old disease was immediately cured. Praise be to the Lord God, creator of the heaven and earth. If you have a question about Matthew chapter 9, you can call in at 347-237-4613. If you have a question for me, call the same number. This woman hoped to receive something from Jesus without drawing any attention to herself or her embarrassing problem. Jesus insisted on making public notice of her, and he did this for good reason. Now, let's talk about the reason why Jesus did this. He did it so she would know that she was healed, having heard an official declaration of it from Jesus. Jesus did it so others know she was healed, because To her, it was private in nature. He did it so she would know why she was healed. That it was by her faith and not because of her superstitious touch in on and of itself. He did it. Jesus did it so that she would not think she had stolen a blessing from Jesus. And so she would never feel that she needed to hide from him. Jesus did it so that the ruler of the synagogue would see the power of Jesus at work and therefore have made, or should I say, have more faith himself in for his ill daughter. Last but not least, Jesus did it so that he can bless her in a special way, giving her an honored title that we never see Jesus give to any other daughter. Matthew chapter 9 verses 23 through 26 talks about Jesus' fight as raises the little girl from the grave. Now these were probably paid mourners who in custom of that day offered a display of mourning for a price and not out of sincere sorrow. So when we notice how quickly they move from healing to reconcile, it showed their lack of sincerity. Give me a moment, I gotta put this mic over. Oh man, this thing is... Alright, here we go. My mic is on. My mic on? Alright, here we go. So, professional mourners were hired even by the poorest family, specifically not less than two feuds and one wailing woman, as in the joke by me. Now, the Bible says, when the crowd was pit outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. She arrived. No, you didn't lose your internet connection. I just took a drink of water. Sometimes when you talk for a long time, your mouth gets dry. It happens to us, even. So, mourning, like anything else, had been reduced to a system. Now, Jesus endured the scornful comments from the crowd and raised the girl to life. He certainly would not let the criticism or mocking of the crowd keep him from doing God's will. Jesus didn't raise any dead child he encountered. But Jesus did so here in the simple act of mercy and compassion to the grieving father. In addition, Jesus might have hated death and its cause, and enjoyed the opportunity to hand death a small defeat before he would defeat it all together at the cross and the empty tomb. Matthew 27 through 31. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 31. Talks about Jesus heals two blind men. Now, it was not easy for these blind men to follow Jesus. But they did. They had to ask others where Jesus was going. And they had to listen to every sound that might guide them. They are determined to follow him to the best of their ability. The two blind men followed Jesus and shouted open recognition of Jesus as Messiah, because Son of David was a rich title. They asked Jesus for the best thing they can ask for, which was mercy. Their sole appeal was to mercy. There was no talk of merit or no pleading or any past sufferings or preserving endorsements or anything like that.
But they asked, have mercy on us. We will, you know, now, listen, he will never win a blessing. Listen, you will never win a blessing from God who demands it as if he had the right to do it. So, what I mean by you will never win a blessing from God is that if you, it's not a game when it comes to God. It's God is merciful. He gives to you. God blesses you. It's not a lottery ticket you got scratched to see if you won the numbers for your big payday. You know, Jesus did not deal with the blind men until they were indoors. This may have been a dampering expectations on a day marked by two highly public and dramatic miracles. Now, again, Jesus healed the blind men in response to their faith. Faith does not guarantee healing for every individual, yet there are no undoubtedly multitudes that were are not healed because of their lack of faith. These men simply proclaimed their faith by saying two words, yes, Lord. He touched them. He touched them with his hand, and they also touched him with their faith. Wow, indeed. Now here again, Matthew emphasized the proper faith that men should have in Jesus and the blessings that come to men through that faith. Now, in many ways, God says the same to man and women today. According to your faith, let it be so to you. There is no much to have by faith, and much that is never received, because it is never grasped by faith with faith. Now, according to your faith does not mean in proportion to your faith. So much faith, so much sight, but rather, since you believe, your request is granted. The word of power in the last sentence is one upon which he acts so continuously that he may call it as his many blessings, a rule of the kingdom. We have measuring of your own mercy. Our faith obtains less or more according to its own compatibility to receive. If you have any questions about this Bible study, call in at 347-237-4613. Now, despite Jesus' warning, they couldn't resist telling up. Thought we do not admire their willing, intentionally disobedience. I mean, we admire their excitement over the word of God. This was their only area of unbelief. They don't have the faith to obey Jesus as they should. They didn't. Verses 32 to 34 talks about a mute man healed. Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 to 34 talks about a mute man healed. Now, in the Jewish understanding of demon possession, this man could not be helped. This was because most rabbis in that day thought that the essential first step in exorcism was to compel some or trick. So they wanted to try to compel or trick the demon into telling them his name. Now, the name was then thought as a handle by which the demon could not be removed. Now, for these reasons, this miracle was particularly amazing to the multitude. The Bible says it was never seen like this in Israel. It showed not only the complete authority of Jesus over the demonic realm, but also the weakness of the rabbi's tradition. obtaining his work, in obtaining this work of Jesus to the power of Satan, we see in this gospel the Pharisees and other religious leaders continuing their rejection of Jesus and his work. Nothing was too bad for them to say of Jesus. Surely this was going very near to unpardonable sin. Now, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. As Jesus encountered the depth of human need, he was moved with comparison for them. Jesus was not unfeeling or static in the face of Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 shows us that what happened in Matthew 8 and 9, thought mostly located in a certain town, was an example of what Jesus did all over Galilee, the Galilee region. Now, in other previous verses, Jesus was terribly and unfairly criticized, yet it did not make him stop his work. He didn't say, oh, they're saying terrible things about me. How can I make them stop? Jesus simply ignored the terrible and unfair criticism and got about his Father's business. We got to remember these things, people. When Jesus gets on, you know, when it comes to Jesus, you know, we got to remember that when people talk about us and call us fake Christians, they deny our faith, we got to be about God's business. Never give up. You may not see what's going on there, but it's there for you. Now, Jesus described what man is apart from God, that we are like sheep having no shepherd. This means that we are in a lot of trouble until we come under the care of our shepherd. This troubles our Savior more than their bodily bondage to the Romans, which yet is very grievous. Sadly, one can say that the Jewish people of that day did indeed have some kind of spiritual guide and shepherds, namely scribes, priests, Levites, and Pharisees, yet for the most part of their worthlessness, Christ accounts those people to have no ministry, who have no good ones. Now, Jesus saw the greatness of the human need as an opportunity, as a harvest that was plentiful. A harvest is a good, remember that. And this was a plentiful harvest here. Now, since the harvest belongs to the Lord of the harvest, we are commanded to pray that we would compel workers to reap this harvest. Remember, you know, I believe in God. And it's my duty as a believer in God to make the harvest, meaning to bring people who don't know God to God. So I'm going to, that's the end of Matthew chapter 9 today. My next episode, I'm going to go into Matthew chapter 10, people. Matthew chapter 10. And there, we're going to move on to better things. For those who don't know me, I am Foscarelli. I'm a music artist, poet, sound engineer, recording artist, songwriter, and I do this for God, you know, and, you know, I'm not doing this to show people, oh, look at Jokic, you know, he can, you know, he's about God, he's trying to show off his spiritual, that's people, it's not me, you know, that's not what I do. What I do is about my Father's business. You see that? Yeah, I matched the scriptures up with that. It's awesome, man. So thank you for listening. You can also go and catch my next study. I'm up on here every day, every weekday, p.m. Eastern time. But I usually start at 5:30. Do end time study, end time prophecies. I discuss all those things on Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So you can tune in there and listen to me live on there. Once again, you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/YokasBasilarelli. My name is spelled YokasBasilarelli. You follow me on Twitter, Jokas Basilarelli. You follow me on Twitter again at Jokas Music. You follow me once again on Twitter, Jokas Quotes. You can add me on Facebook, facebook.com/JokasBasilarelli. And you can add me as a friend on Facebook at facebook.com/TheBeginningExperienceOfMusic. Thank you for tuning in. This is Spiritual Minds, your host, Peaceful Crab, saying God bless. And bless the Lord with all of his heart. And may we forever praise his name. Praise his name, Lord Jesus. Praise his name.